Open your Bibles here this morning to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 as we consider this passage here before us. The title of my message here this morning is Stepping into the Future with Confidence. Stepping into the Future with Confidence. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, these words are written for us from the pen of the Apostle Paul. It says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Let's pray here this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word and the truth of it. And Father, I thank you that your word speaks with authority. And Lord, your word forever is settled in heaven. And Lord, it is the true word of God. Father, bless us as we gather around it here this morning as your people. Feed us with your heavenly manna. Lord, may I be a vessel that honors your word and your son. So Lord, bless us and guide us into all truth by the Holy Spirit. And we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, end times is a topic that draws much interest. The Left Behind series, 16 books, 5 made the New York Best Time Seller. Guess how many copies were sold? Anybody have a guess? How about 65 million copies? Is there a little bit of interest in what's going to happen at the end times? Another book was written, The Late Great Planet Earth. One book, Howard Lindzey, sold 28 million copies, just that one book. What's going to happen in the future? We have any guidance in that matter? Does God's Word say anything about it? Sure does. Who controls the future? God does. Who knows what's going to happen? God does. You know, in this short book here of 2 Thessalonians, 3 chapters. First chapter, they were under intense persecution. Second chapter, they were confused a little bit about the day of the Lord. What did that mean? As we pick up the flow of thought here in chapter 2, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him." What is that referring to? Referring to the rapture, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, our gathering together in him. That's one event. That's not two separate events. That's one event that happens. Jesus Christ comes in the air, the saints of God, a rapture, we meet him in the air. And for the saints of God, the church, the body of Christ, will be together forever with the Lord. Well, somehow, in verse 2 gives us some enlightenment here. Now, these are Thessalonian believers. The Word of God, the canon of Scripture, is still being formed. You know, Paul went and taught them the Word of the Lord. And we have here in verse 2 a situation that arose, "that ye be not soon shaken in mind." Now, they had a problem here. What was the problem? Well, somebody came and said to them, "The day of the Lord is at hand." Now, chapter 1, what were they going through? Persecution. They were having a tough time. And because of this persecution, somebody came along. Now, look in verse 2 here. There's three ways. Neither by spirit. Somebody stood up in the assembly and gave a word of prophecy and said, "Thus saith the Lord, this is a day of the Lord's at hand." And they all heard it. And they said, "What does that mean?" And maybe that same person or someone else said, "Nor by word." They came along and said, "Do you know what I have heard? I've heard the day of the Lord's here." And they heard that. "Nor by letter from us." What does that mean? Well, somebody, it appears, by what's written there, they wrote a letter and put the Apostle Paul's name onto it and said, "The day of the Lord is here." Now, I believe in the pre-tribulational rapture of the church, that we go up to be with the Lord. if you read 2 Thessalonians and you just look at how they reacted to what was going on here, they believed that same thing because they had a problem here. That's why they were shaken, because in Scripture, the day of the Lord is a term that is applied for the great day of judgment of God coming upon the earth. That's the day of the Lord. Wherever you find that, you'll find a day of gloom, a day of darkness, a day of judgment, a day of God's wrath. Every time you have the day of the Lord, it's always an event where God comes down and just judges the whole earth. Boom! He is judging mankind for their sin. That's that day of the Lord. And they're thinking to themselves, Paul told us the rapture's going to happen before the day of the Lord. Now, think about this. You're the Thessalonian believers. Somebody comes to you and says, guess what? We're in the day of the Lord right now. What does that mean to you? Well, am I saved? Because if I was saved, I was supposed to go up in the rapture. It would mean, did God change his mind? Did he said this, but now is there something else happening? The second thing, what did it mean to them? It means, can God's word be trusted? This is what I thought it said. This is what I'm being told now. What's happening here? Would that trouble you? Would that trouble you if you thought you were going through the day of the Lord? Would you be a little upset? They were. They were troubled. They didn't know how to process this. Because when Paul was with them, look at verse 5, I was yet with you. I told you these things. He told them the unfolding plan of God, that the saints of God would go through a time of persecution, but then at a certain time, whoo, we're caught up together to be with the Lord, the rapture, in a twinkling of an eye, we're caught up together to be with him, the Lord, meet the Lord in the air. Then the tribulation period comes, the Antichrist comes, and 3.5 years, a man of peace, and then he at the 3.5 year mark, he betrays Israel. He enters into the temple, declares himself God. The last 3.5 years, God pulls out his wrath upon the earth. Paul said, I told you all these things. And they were confused because they got a word. They had a spirit, a word, and a letter saying that the day of Christ is at hand, the day of the Lord. Wow, they were really struggling here, trying to put all these pieces. So Paul, and he answers them, I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and of the gathering and our gathering unto him, it hasn't happened yet. The rapture has not happened. That ye be not soon shaken. Don't be troubled. You didn't miss the rapture. You didn't miss the event that God had on his prophetic calendar as that the day of Christ, the day of the Lord's at hand. Verse 3 says, let no man what? Deceive you. You know what's interesting? Earlier this week I read an article. You ever heard of Benny Hinn? Do you know who I'm talking about? Do you know what he just recently said? He said to an audience, he goes, I want to tell you something. I'm sorry for my teaching because it has not been true to God's word. Can you imagine that? That's what he said. And somebody said, well, if he really is repentant, let's see if he gives back the $40 million he's got in his life to everybody he took that from. What was his doctrine, his teaching? It was prosperity gospel. You give to God, God's going to give back to you. You give, God's going to give more than you ever. Prosperity theology. That was his teaching. He went all around the world, and he deceived a lot of people with his teaching. And he's $40 million richer today. And if he really meant business, somebody said, let him give all that money back. We'll see what he really thinks about his repentance there. But it says here, let no man deceive you. Do people tell you things that aren't true in the name of God? Do they tell you things? Absolutely. So how can you be wise? How can you be wise? You better know the Bible, and you better know what it's teaching. Because guess what? People come calling you, they're going to knock on your door, and they're going to say, I'm from the Watchtower Society, and I got something I want you to read here. They're going to get you all confused. Or they're from the Church of Latter-day Saints. They're going to get you all confused. You better know your Bible. And for these Thessalonians, somebody came along, gave them a word, gave them a letter, and it got them all stirred up. They didn't know what to think. You better know your Bible, because people will deceive you. Let no man deceive you by any means. Make sure you know the Scriptures. Make sure you know the Scriptures. Well, Paul says, I want to lay some things out to you. What's going to happen? Let no man deceive you by any means that the day of God's great judgment for this world shall not come. Now, he lays out, except there come a falling away first, an apostasy, a falling away. Now, that falling away, if you were to look over the spectrum of Christianity today, do you see just a little bit of falling away at this point? Do you see anything out there on the scope or horizon of Christianity as some falling away? I'll just give you a few here. How about the Methodist Church going to split over the doctrine of marrying homosexual men and ordaining men to preach supposedly the scriptures that are homosexuals? Is that a falling away by chance? Is that a falling away from what God says? Absolutely it is. Is that just in the Methodist Church? How about the Episcopal Church? They're dealing with that same issue. Is that an apostasy or falling away? Absolutely it is. We see, as you look on the spectrum of falling away, that's denominations. How about individuals? Can you think of any individuals that you thought were somebody and they turned out to be somebody else? How about the fellow that wrote, I Kissed Dating Goodbye? You know what his name is? Joshua Harris. You know what he just said? I'm not a Christian by any means. He wrote that book, I Kissed Dating Goodbye. Can you imagine that? If you would have said that a year ago, you wouldn't have had anybody believe it. But he said, he put out an article that said, by all standards, I am no longer a Christian today. That's called apostasy. That's called falling away. And it's happening all around us. You go to Great Britain today. At one time, Great Britain used to send out 3,000 missionaries a year. What is Great Britain today? It's a mission field. America is sending missionaries to Great Britain today. There have been over 500 churches closed in Britain and over 500 mosques started in Britain. That's Britain. That's the land of George Mueller and Charles Haddon Spurgeon. All these great men of the faith, that's their land. Is that apostasy happening? How about in our own government? We used to be able to read the scriptures in public schools. Children used to learn, A, all is sin that comes short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That all the alphabet used to be taught them with Bible verses. How many Bible verses do you think they use to teach the alphabet to little boys and girls today do you think they use? Zero. Recently in the news, the LGBTQ and whatever else you want to throw in there, they're sending out rainbow-colored laces so that all soccer teams can put rainbow-colored laces on their shoes as they play so they can stand in solidarity with one another to promote inclusiveness in our culture. How about that? Little boys and girls playing soccer having rainbow-colored shoelaces. You can go to them and order as many as you want, and they'll send them to you. Put them on your team. Is that apostasy? That's an abomination to God. Tender little boys and girls, indoctrinating them that way. Should that catch us by surprise? What did verse 3 said? Now, no man deceive you, for that day shall not come, that day of the Lord, except there come a falling away first, the apostasy. Now, I don't want to stay too much on this, but you better fight for your family and your home because Satan is pulling families down right and left. And if he can pull enough families down, he can pull a nation down. And he can pull churches down. And there's a falling away that's happening. Why? Because people are not honoring the Word of God. In Sunday school, we watch some young people ask a question. How many Ten Commandments can you name? And did you see them? What did they do? They stuttered, they stammered, they got a few, but they had no idea really. And then they ask them, how many beers can you name? And what did they do? Boom, 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 boom. They named them off. Why? Because we got a falling away in our nation. We're not teaching the boys and girls the word of the Lord. They're not understanding scriptures, the implications of what God has said here. Do you see that falling away happening? I do. Well, and the second thing, in verse 3, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, who is that man of sin? That man of sin's got to be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, the Apostle John calls him the anti-what? Christ. That's what the Apostle... Paul never calls him the Antichrist. That's kind of interesting. Only John calls him the Antichrist. But that's a term we have come to understand him by. Now, the Apostle Paul calls him that man of sin. Wow. Just get a handle on that for a minute. That man of sin. Anti can mean against or in the stead of. And what does Satan want to do here? He wants to enter what? The temple and declare himself what? He wants to declare himself God. Why? When Jesus was tempted, what did Satan say to Jesus? If you will fall down and what? Worship me, all these shall be thine. So that's what he's after. He wants people to worship him. He wants people to worship him as God. In Isaiah chapter 14, Lucifer, the son of the morning, he kept saying, I will ascend up to the north. I will seat myself on the seat of the Almighty God. I, all the way down through there. And God said to him, thou shalt be cast down to hell. So that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to exalt himself as God, that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Well, what do we know about that man of sin? What's he going to be like? Paul says he's going to be revealed first before the day of the Lord comes. He's going to be revealed. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Daniel here. Book of Daniel. It gives us a little bit of insight into who this man of sin was. Daniel chapter 7. And look at Daniel 7 verse 8. Daniel gave us a lot of prophetic understanding of who the Antichrist is, an insight into his character, his method of operation. Verse 8, I considered the horns, and there grew up among them a little horn, before there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. Behold, in that horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and the mouth that speaketh great things. That little horn, that's the Antichrist. He shall come out of nowhere. That little horn, now a horn is a symbol of strength, authority. It's a prophetic way of saying that there's authority given to this person. It's a little horn. He's going to come from where you don't even expect him. He's going to be come out of a nation that you're not even expecting him to come out of, that little horn. And he says down in verse 23, same chapter, look down at verse 23, more of a description. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth. Now, what kind of power is he going to have? He's going to be able to devour the whole earth, and it shall be treaded down and break it in pieces. He's going to be so powerful, nobody can resist him. Now, think about this for a minute. In Revelation, it talks about receiving the mark of the beast. No man shall be able to buy or sell without the mark of the beast. Now, if you were to ask somebody 100 years ago how that's going to happen, they would scratch their head and say, I have no idea. I know God's word says it, but I have no idea. If I was to ask you today, how can the mark of the beast happen that you can't buy or sell anything without the mark of the beast? Can you imagine how that could happen today? Absolutely. Absolutely. And don't you think that there aren't forces out there that are moving, trying to get us to go to a cashless society? Once we go to a cashless society, what does that mean? We're just one step away from that happening. Because once you have no cash, you got to have some kind of way to process everything. And debit cards are going to give way to some type of mark of the beast. Scan your hand, scan your forehead, you're good to go. He's going to subdue all these kingdoms. What else is he going to do? Look at verse 25, Daniel 7. And he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of God. What is he going to talk about? He's going to blaspheme God of heaven. He's going to speak blasphemous words. And guess what? The world's going to eat it up. They're going to eat it up. He's going to speak great words against the Most High and wear out the saints of the Most High. Now think about that. Wear them out. Now, we as New Testament believers, we're the church. Before all this happens, this man of sin revealed, we're going to go up in the rapture. Are there people going to be saved through the tribulation? Absolutely. What are they going to have? They're going to have the Bible, the Word of God left behind. They're going to see these things. These people that have been on the fence, they're not against Christianity, but they're not for Christianity. And all of a sudden, boop, you're gone. All the church is gone. You know, their grandmother's gone. Their parents are gone. And they're sitting there thinking, I remember my mom telling me about the rapture. I don't know what happened here, but she's gone and my grandma's gone. And they get their Bible and they start reading. All of a sudden they realize, God, you're so right. I was so wrong. And they're going to get saved during the tribulation. Well, how do you think the Antichrist is going to feel about these people getting saved? And then when they read Revelation, that if you take the mark of the beast, you're not going to have any part in God's kingdom. If you take his mark, you're a done deal. They're going to say, oh, no, Antichrist, I can't take your mark. You know what he's going to do? To death you go. And those tribulation saints in Revelation, they're honored by God who withstood the beast and would not hold their life dear unto themselves, but they gave their lives for the testimony of the Word of God, that what God said was true. He's going to wear out the saints of God by persecution and trouble. He's going to wear them out. And to think to change times and laws in verse 25. What is the Antichrist going to do? To think to change times and laws. Now think about this for a minute. In America, December 21st, what do we celebrate? December 25th, what do we celebrate? Christmas. That's Christ's birthday. How do you think the Antichrist is going to feel about Christ's birthday being celebrated? I think he's going to have something to say about that. All these religious holidays, he's going to wipe them away. And if you don't go along with him, he's going to wipe you out. He's going to change all the times and customs all around the world because he's steering it to where he wants to be worshipped as God. He's going to think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hands until a time and times and a dividing of times. Now, think with me here for a moment. Verse 25, until a time, that's one, and times, that's two, and a dividing of time is a half. So you have one plus two equals what? I'm glad I got some smart people out here this morning. That's not a trick question. Let's try that again. One plus two equals what? Three. Got it. And if you add a half to that, what do you have? Three and a half. That is that time, that 70th week of Daniel, that 3.5 years, he's going to be a man of peace the first 3.5 years. He's going to betray Israel. He's going to walk into the temple, declare himself God, and that's when the tribulation of the world is going to happen and God's wrath is going to unfold. All the bold judgments and everything out of the book of Revelation are going to come upon the earth. That's what's going to happen. Until a time, one, and times two, that's three, that equals three, and a dividing of times, that's a half, 3.5 years. But the judgment shall sit, that's Almighty God, and shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it unto the end. The Antichrist isn't going to last forever. That's the Antichrist. We'll turn back over here to 2 Thessalonians. And we could go on more and more here in Daniel about the Antichrist. But sufficient, I think you get the picture. He's a bad guy. He's a man of sin. And we're not going to be here. Now, when you see all these events in our world unfolding, when you see all these events that unraveling, does it bother you that Europe, the Christian churches all around Europe are closing down one after another? Does that it bothers me. But I know that it's because the Antichrist is being prepared that when he comes, there's going to be such an ignorance of God's word that he's going to so imitate the powers of God that people are going to say, who can fight against the beast? Who can fight against him? What miracles he's doing? They'll be so ignorant of the word of God. Verse 3, except there come a falling away, the apostasy, and that man of sin, the Antichrist, be revealed, the son of perdition. That perdition means son of destruction. He will be destroyed one day. Verse 4, Paul goes on to say, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God. Now, put on your thinking caps here. If he's sitting in the temple of God, what does that imply? That the temple will be what? Rebuilt. That's what it implies. If he's going to sit in the temple, is there a temple right now? No, it was destroyed in 70 AD by the Romans. So the implication of that is that temple is going to be rebuilt. Have you looked and read much about Jerusalem today? Guess what they're planning on doing? Rebuilding the temple. It's going to happen. The Dome of the Rock and all these issues, somehow there's going to be a way that temple's going to be rebuilt. And it can happen fast because they're getting everything lined up. You talk about modular homes being built. When the first temple was built, was there any hammer work done? No, there was no hammer work. It was all pre-built at the quarries. They brought each stone in. Every stone fit perfect. Boom. There was not a sound as this thing went up. Now, if man can build a modular home pretty quick, do you not think that this temple could go up relatively quick if they got all the materials ready? If the Amish can put a barn together in a day, don't you think that these Jews have been without a temple for 2,000 some years? Don't you think they have a little, gumption in their spirits to get this temple done? It's going to go up just like that once it's initiated. But that's all a prophecy. God's telling us these things. Now, if you look at the news today and you listen to it, does it get you a little depressed? It does. It wears on me. Because everywhere you see, you see violence. Now, God in the New Testament says, as the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man. What were the days of Noah like? That in their imagination, every thought of their heart was what? Wicked. Now, you look at the movies today, and what is in movies? A lot of what? Wickedness and violence. God said in Genesis 6, violence covered the face of the whole earth. Do you see that happening today? I see it everywhere. To me, it's just unconscionable that people can get a gun out and just randomly start shooting people, just killing people. Where's their minds? How hardened, how depraved, how satanically demon-inspired they are to do those things. This falling away, this apostasy, the world we live in. But what does verse 2 say for us as believers? That ye be not soon what? Shaken in mind. You know why? God's got it all in control. We as believers that are the church age here, whoo, we're going up to be with him. Is that going to be a great day? Amen. Thank you, Dan. I'm glad I got one person to listen here this way. Is that going to be a great day? Thank you. Amen. That's going to be a great day because we're going up with him. You're not going through the tribulation. And don't let any man deceive you. Because you know what? You know why they were so upset? Because they had that understanding of the pre-tribulational, pre-rapture of the church. Then they were shaken because they thought, it didn't happen. Paul, what happened here? Paul says, don't be alarmed here. It's going to happen just as God says. That's the understanding that the believers had here of what Paul taught them. This Antichrist, he's going to enter the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Verse 5, remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. You know, God is telling us these things. Why? Because he wants us to have confidence. Now, when is the rapture going to happen? Could it happen anytime? Absolutely. If it could happen anytime, does that put a sense of urgency in you to get the gospel out? Now, maybe you're not saved. Do you want to be left behind and everybody else goes up and you're not going up? What if you have an unsaved husband or wife? What if you have unsaved children? What if you have unsaved family, relatives? What if you have unsaved co-workers? Is there a sense of urgency to get the gospel to them? Because these things are happening. We see it out there. You can't help it. If you know the Bible, you see these events falling into place. The old Roman Empire, the European Union is right out of the book of Daniel, what they're doing. It's happening. And we ought to get in on God's program and have a sense of urgency to get people to respond to the gospel while there's time. And we also should not be shaken in spirit when we see all these things. God has got this under control. Are you thankful you have a God that knows the end from the beginning? I do. And as we live this coming week, let us live a life that's reflective of this God who's going to have Satan, the son of destruction, the Antichrist, the false prophet, the beast, and the Antichrist all cast into the lake of fire. And to me, that's going to be a great day when Satan gets what's coming to him. But until that day appears, we need to be faithful and fervent in spirit for the Lord. Well, let us pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Fathers, we looked at this passage here this morning about the events that are to unfold in the prophetic calendar of God. Lord, may it develop our character as believers. Lord, may we not be just amused or entertained by these thoughts, but may we see the seriousness of them, Lord. There's going to be people that are going to be left behind when the rapture happens. There's going to be people that have to deal with the Antichrist. And Father, I thank you as believers, we have this opportunity to share the word of the Lord with those that know you not. So, Lord, help us to be true to your word and to know the word of God, that we don't be deceived by people that preach a false gospel to tickle men's ears and to endear men to themselves at the expense of the word of God and the truth of it. So, Lord, help us to be fervent in spirit and to embrace those things that you have foretold us of, that we with confidence would face the future knowing we have a God who's in control of all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.